20,000 years ago, a vast tropical continent called Sundaland flourished. Dense jungles, wide rivers, and ancient mountains covered the land. Until the oceans rose and swallowed it whole. When Sundaland disappeared beneath the sea, it left behind a world of isolated islands, ancient cultures, and untouched landscapes. Today, that world is called Indonesia. The largest archipelago on Earth, shaped by fire, water, and time. Where many of its most extraordinary places still remain unseen. Long before sunrise, the mountain begins to breathe. Tourists climb Iyan in the dark to witness blue flames, a phenomenon found in only a few places on Earth. But the sulfur miners don't need flashlights. They've walked this path for years. Some come from villages just down the slope. Others have crossed islands for a job few would take. For them, it isn't rare or remarkable. It's routine. By sunrise, they're deep inside the crater, surrounded by toxic clouds and the hiss of sulfur gas catching fire. The heat burns, the air stings. They work with iron rods and bare hands, carving yellow slabs of hardened sulfur. Each load can weigh over 70 kilos. The climb out is slow, silent, and suffused with steam. For a full day's haul, they earn little more than the price of a meal back in town. Above, the lake glows a strange electric green, a crater filled with the world's largest pool of acid. Not every volcano needs to threaten to be felt. Some are part of the background until you realise they've shaped everything. Mount Inuri doesn't erupt often, it doesn't loom. It just stands, steep and silent, above fields, forests and scattered villages across Flores. From the air, its ridgelines ripple like fabric. The slopes fold into each other, green and untouched, as if no one had ever crossed them. There are no roads cutting through. No signs pointing up. Just paths that fade into forest and people who grow up beneath its outline. There's no drama here, only presence. The first steps are taken in the dark. Climbers leave Sembaloon while the valley still sleeps. Moving past rice fields and quiet rooftops, chasing light toward a mountain that doesn't always welcome them. Mount Rinjani isn't just high, it's sacred. To the Sasak and Balinese, it's the seat of spirits, where offerings are left in silence before the climb continues. As the trail rises, the air thins. Clouds drift through the ridgelines. At the summit, Sagara Anak, the crater lake, glows blue beneath shifting mist. And in the centre of it, a smaller volcano still rises and smokes, a volcano within a volcano. Even in silence, the mountain feels like it's holding something back. It's quiet, but not in a way that makes you feel safe. Most volcanoes explode with fire. This one burps. At Bledud Cwrw, thick grey mud boils up from underground, bursting with a sound like cannon fire. Locals collect the salt left behind, others just watch it breathe. And Glangaran is different again. It's a fossilised volcano that hasn't erupted in tens of millions of years. Now it's all stone and jungle. Quiet trails, hidden cliffs, and a view that doesn't feel like a volcano at all. It doesn't feel real. A smoking crater, a perfect green cone, a volcano erupting in the distance, all inside one massive caldera. Batuk stands still, Semeru breathes fire every 20 minutes, and Bromo in the centre never stops steaming. The valley they sit in is called the Sea of Sand. A black desert of volcanic ash where horses cross at dawn and clouds pour over the rim. At sunrise, it's like watching the world begin again. You can walk right to the crater's edge. No fences, no warning signs, just footsteps on soft ash and the sound of steam. To the Tengarees, this place is sacred. Every year they climb to the rim and throw offerings into the crater, food, flowers, even live animals, gifts for the mountain and the spirits they believe still live inside it. Three lakes, side by side, each a different colour. One glows green, another turns red, the third darkens into black. Sometimes they stay like that for weeks, sometimes they change overnight. Locals believe the lakes are where souls go, one for the elderly, one for the young, and one for those who went down the wrong path. But the colours never follow a pattern. No one can predict when they'll shift or why. This is considered one of the rarest geological wonders in the world. At sunrise, mist moves slowly through the crater. Even when nothing moves, the place feels uncertain. It's not the tallest or the loudest, but something about it makes you pause. Wikakura sits deep in the hills of Sumba. A slender ribbon of water falling into a still blue pool. It's surrounded by forest, rock, and quiet rice fields tucked into the valley. Most of the island is dry and sunbeaten, but here the air stays cool. The stone stays green. It's the kind of place you stumble on, then fall silent. The sound is soft. The light stays low, and for a moment the world feels small again. From a distance, it looks untouched. A green lake tucked into the hills, still as glass. But look closer. You'll see floating platforms drifting quietly across the surface. Local fish farms tended by hand. They paddle between cages, checking nets. Sometimes the lake is so quiet, you can hear their boats before you see them. The lake was formed by a volcano, but there's no sign of fire now. Just water, hills, and mist. Not many people come here, but those who do usually stay longer than they planned. Most lakes reflect the sky, but this one is different. Talagawana means lake of colours. Sometimes it glows green. Other days it shifts to yellow or turquoise. It changes with the sunlight, the minerals, or some say the mood of the spirits, if you ask the locals. It sits in a volcanic crater, surrounded by forest and rising mist. No boats, no buildings. Just colour, shifting without warning. The cliffs are the first thing you see. Sheer walls of stone rising hundreds of meters from the valley floor, towering on all sides like a natural fortress. But then you notice what lies below. Rice fields stretch out like a green quilt. Water buffalo move slowly through the morning mist. Children ride bikes along narrow paths between the paddies. Everything feels small, quiet, and perfectly in place. Harau Valley seems like it was never meant to be found, folded into the earth, hidden behind walls of rock. Waterfalls spill from the cliffs. Villages rest in their shadow, and in the space between, just enough room for life to move at its own pace. It doesn't fall from one point, it falls from everywhere. Tumpak Sowu means a thousand waterfalls, a name that fits. A horseshoe of water pours down from the forest above, feeding the basin below. From above, it looks still, almost designed. But from below, it's chaos. Mist fills the air, the ground stays wet, and the roar never stops. It's not easy to reach. The trail is steep, the rocks are slick, and the climb back up is worse. But it's worth it, because down there, it doesn't feel like a place people were meant to reach. At first, it looks unreal. Rows of rooftops, rising up the hillside, stacked tightly on steep ground, but this isn't a viewpoint. It's a village. People grow vegetables on the slopes. Children walk to school along narrow roads. Motorbikes weave through mist. Locals call it Nepal Vanjava. Not because it copies anything, but because there's nowhere else in Indonesia that looks like this. Behind it all, Mount Sumbing rises over 3,000 metres into the clouds. When it's clear, the peak feels close enough to touch. And when it's not, it's easy to forget you're living next to a volcano until you look at how life is built around it. From a distance, it looks like just another forested hill. But climb to the top, and the stones begin to speak. Rectangular blocks, weathered and moss-covered, stacked in perfect terraces. Some say they were placed here more than 10,000 years ago, long before any known civilization. Because of its shape, some call it Pyramid Mountain. Others simply call it Gunung Padang. And believe it may be the oldest megalithic site in Southeast Asia, possibly even the oldest on Earth. Scientists still debate how old it really is. Some believe it hides subterranean chambers carved deep inside the hill. Others point to the layout, aligned with the sun and stars, following ancient astronomical patterns. And beneath it all, the hill itself is an extinct volcano, adding a geological twist to the mystery. Locals say it holds spiritual power. No one knows for sure who built it or why. But one thing is clear, it wasn't built by accident. If the age is right, it could change what we thought we knew about the ancient world. High in the mountains of Flores, far from roads or signal, sits a village that doesn't make sense at first. Seven tall houses, all perfectly round, all pointing to the sky. Arranged in a circle, not by chance, but by design. No one knows exactly how long Wei Rebo has stood here, only that the ancestors chose this place for a reason, and that tradition never moved it. A place above the clouds, where nothing arrives easily and nothing leaves quickly. The homes are called Barunyang, built by hand, shaped by memory, and guided by sacred rules that have endured for generations. You don't expect to find a swamp this high in the mountains. Bento Swamp sits in the highlands of Sumatra, quiet, wide, and mostly unknown. Rivers wind through open grassland. Trees lean over the black water. Buffalo move slowly, barely making a sound. There are no villages. No signs, just water, sky, and a kind of stillness that never seems to change. In South Kalimantan, the swamp doesn't push people away, it makes space for them. Homes sit on wooden stilts above the water, bridges creak, canoes drift between front doors. You don't walk through this village, you paddle. People grow vegetables on floating plots, children splash between platforms. It's not just life in the swamp, it's life built with it. And just down the river, the water becomes more than a home. Before the sun fully rises, the river begins to fill with boats. Dozens of wooden canoes gather in the current, each one stacked with fruit, vegetables, herbs, and hot food. Women in conical hats paddle from boat to boat. Some trade, some sell, some come just to talk. A larger boat floats at the centre, carpeted, crowded and full of colour. It acts like a village square where vendors pause and goods pass across boats like hands across a table. There's no shouting, just paddles tapping against wood. Quiet greetings and hand-to-hand exchanges. This is the floating market of South Kalimantan. And it has been operating for hundreds of years. It doesn't feel like a show, it feels like part of the river itself. It lasts for only an hour or two, then the boats drift apart, the colours fade, and the water goes still again. Not all villages are built for convenience, some are built for the ancestors. On the coast of Sumba, houses rise like shrines. Towering thatched roofs, steep and sharp, pointing to the spirit world. Each home is a symbol. The taller the roof, the stronger the connection to Marapu, the ancestral force that still guides daily life. Stone tombs sit beside the living. Rituals happen at the hearth. Even the layout of the village follows sacred rules, passed down, never written. Further east in the highlands of Flores, Bellaragi tells a different story. Homes are built in rows, perfectly aligned. In the centre, wooden poles and miniature houses, offerings to male and female spirits. Nothing here is random. Every beam, every path, every stone has meaning. They weren't built for change. They were built to carry memory forward. It's hard to believe what happened here. In 1883, Krakatoa tore itself apart, one of the most violent eruptions in recorded history. It triggered tsunamis, sent shockwaves around the world, and was heard over 4,800 kilometres away. Possibly the loudest sound ever recorded. The island vanished. The sea took over. But not for long. From the ruins rose Anak Krakatoa. The child of Krakatoa. It smokes, hisses, and breathes, and it reminds you this land isn't finished. The rocks here are raw. The ground is young. You can still feel the heat underfoot. Waves crash against black sand. Birds circle the crater. And the ocean that once swallowed this island now cradles its rebirth. Some islands feel like they belong to another world. In the far reaches of Komodo National Park, the land twists into sharp ridgelines and bays so hidden they seem carved for stories. This is Labuan Bajo's secret side, not the tourist harbour, but the maze of islets and inlets beyond. Here, brown hills rise from turquoise water, folded like sleeping dragons, ancient, quiet, and powerful. From above, the coastline splinters into secluded coves and emerald channels, many of them only accessible by boat. Locals say these waters were once used by pirates to hide. Today, only silence and scenery remain. Drift further east, and the ocean begins to shift. The land vanishes. This is Takamakasa, a sandbar in the middle of the Flores Sea. It appears and disappears with the tides, a place that's not always there and never exactly the same. Surrounding it is some of the richest marine biodiversity in the world, part of the Coral Triangle where more than 3,000 species of fish live. Boats anchor above it. People walk its curves barefoot. And then as the tide returns, it vanishes. Like a mirage, the ocean breathes in and out. Just beyond Komodo's surreal coastline, the dream softens into reality. Here, Kukusan and Mesa rise quietly from the sea. Small, self-sufficient fishing villages dotted with wooden boats and fish pens. They don't draw crowds, they don't chase them either. These are working islands. Salt clings to the air, nets dry in the sun. Life is simple, shaped by the tides and the reef below. And then we reach Bungin, a village built where no village should be. What began as a sandbar has become one of the most crowded islands on Earth. Built by hand, stone by stone, the island didn't grow naturally. It was willed into existence. There are no parks, no empty land, just rooftops stitched tightly together. Narrow walkways threading between homes and boats slipping through gaps where streets should be. From above, it looks impossible. But for the people who live here, it's not just a place, it's proof. Proof that even the sea can be shaped if you refuse to give it up. The forest stretches further than you expect. Green rolls into green, unbroken, untamed. Volcanoes rise from the heart of it all, their peaks cloaked in mist and silence. This is Halmahera, the largest island in the Maluku chain. But it doesn't feel large, it feels hidden. There are no cities here. Only dense jungle, shifting clouds, and the occasional winding road hugging the coast. Villages appear like whispers between the trees. And above it all, the volcanoes breathe, slow and steady. The soil here is black and alive. The canopy never stops moving, and the sky, always watching, falls quiet over it all. At first, you only see stone. Massive karst cliffs, sharp and silent, rising out of the rice fields like monuments to something long forgotten. But then a narrow river winds between them, and the journey changes. You don't walk to Ramang Ramang, you drift. A wooden boat carries you slowly through a corridor of jungle and limestone, where every bend reveals something quieter, older, more still. There are no roads, no rush, just water, reflection, and the steady rhythm of paddles in the green. When the village finally appears, tucked beneath cliffs, touched by mist, it feels like it grew out of the land itself. Not everything has to rise high to be unforgettable. Some wait quietly, hidden in the trees. Deep in the forest of Sulawesi, we reach a lagoon so clear the boats seem to float on glass. You can see every stone below, every ripple of light, the leaves, even the shadows on the bottom, as if the water wasn't there at all. are no waves, no current. Just a quiet so complete, it feels like the whole place is paused. Locals call it Paisupok, clear water, and somehow that still doesn't quite capture it. Not every transformation is made by nature. Some are painted by hand, brushstroke by brushstroke. Once a fading riverside slum, Jodipan was reborn in colour. Houses were painted every shade you can imagine: blue, yellow, green, pink. Spilling down the hillsides like a living rainbow. Bridges, alleys, rooftops, nothing left untouched. From above, it looks almost unreal. From inside, it feels alive. A maze of colour, laughter, and life stitched together by pride. Colour didn't change everything here, but it changed enough. It's hard to describe from above. Islands like scattered paint. Water like polished stone. 1,000 fragments of land floating in silence. This is Raja Ampat, not one place, but a whole world of its own. Remote, untouched, almost unintentional. It feels like the ocean changed its mind halfway through making land and just left everything where it fell. There are no straight lines here. Only coral atolls, limestone towers, and shadows cast by clouds. Even the currents move carefully, weaving between reefs like they know this place is sacred. Scientists say these waters hold more marine life than anywhere else on Earth. There's no grand monument, just sea and stone, stretched to the horizon. A reminder that sometimes the most beautiful places aren't built, they're simply left alone. Discover the world, explore the extraordinary. See you in the next adventure.